Lord, we know the story. We've heard it over and over and over. But we pray that this night, this special night, that we might hear it anew, that we might understand something of the amazing power of what happened on that night so long ago, away in a manger. And so wherever each one of us is, Lord, speak to us a word. A word that will lift us up, a word that will encourage us, a word that will call us, a word that will challenge us. As we hear now your word, both read and proclaimed. For again we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We begin our reading tonight with an Old Testament passage from the prophet Isaiah. Through the month of December, during the time of Advent, I have been preaching through this verse, and so we will culminate our Christmas season as we reflect one last time on Isaiah's prophecy. I invite you, if you would like, to join me in the reading from the screen. Hear now Isaiah's words from Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom. He will establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from that time on, and forever. The zeal of Yahweh Almighty will accomplish this. The zeal of Yahweh Almighty, Israel's God, did indeed accomplish the fulfillment of that promise. And now we read the story from Luke's gospel of how Yahweh Almighty did indeed fulfill Isaiah's word. Again, if you would like to join me, feel free. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. For today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And on earth peace. Are they kidding? and on earth peace. Are these angels as clueless as the contestants in the movie Miss Congeniality? Perhaps you remember this scene.
I would have to say world peace. Definitely world peace.
That's easy.
World peace. World peace.
What is the one most important thing our society needs?
That would be harsher punishment for a parole violator, Stan. And world peace.
And world peace. Of course, we all want world peace, don't we? But how will that ever happen? Just take the past 150 years of American history. Did you know that since the Civil War in 1860 to 1865, Americans have been involved in close to 80 wars and military conflicts around the world? And now, in addition to our continuing battles in Afghanistan and the Middle East, divisions plague our national life here at home. On earth, peace? I don't think so. But interestingly, in the days of Caesar Augustus, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the world was experiencing a time of extended peace. It was known as the Pax Romana, Pax being peace, Romana of Rome. For 200 years, from the ascension of Augustus Caesar to the emperorship of the Roman Empire in 27 BC, until 187 AD, the Roman Empire, which was huge, was at peace. And through the power of Augustus's massive army stationed throughout that far-flung empire, he was able to keep the Pax Romana. But to support this huge military presence, he ordered censuses so that his entire empire could be counted in terms of their citizenship, and he could then tax those citizens to pay for the military presence that was keeping the peace. This is the background of the census that Luke mentions in the Christmas story in his narrative. But even during the Pax Romana, during this time of peace throughout the Roman Empire, all was not well. For Roman troops kept the peace with brutality and oppression, with abuse and injustice. So what were the angels singing about when they brought their message of on earth peace during the Pax Romana? Well, the prophet Isaiah, writing hundreds of years before Jesus' birth, points us to the answer when he declares, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. In contrast to the Pax Romana, which was maintained by oppression and injustice, this Prince of Peace, who is to come, will establish peace forever. And instead of a surface peace, It will be a deep shalom, which is the Hebrew word for peace. Instead of a peace held together by oppression and abuse, by tyranny and unrighteousness, shalom, in contrast, is the fullness of peace. If you study this word throughout the Old Testament, and it's one of those big Old Testament words, you will learn that shalom encompasses these kinds of qualities: comfort, salvation, healing, friendship, flourishing, blessing, welfare, well-being, security, safety, wholeness, restoration, health, wellness, tranquility, contentment, abundance, wealth, justice, and righteousness. That is the peace that the Prince of Peace brings. That is the peace that the angel announces. A peace that will make everything right and whole. A peace in which everyone is blessed and secure in God's world. And this shalom will come through the child to be born, the son to be given, the babe in the manger, Jesus himself. But how does this child, with no formal education, of poor parentage, living in a backwater of the Roman Empire, with no army under his command, produce the promised eternal shalom? How does he do that? By dying. For the problem of war and conflict that keeps the human race from entering into God's shalom is first and foremost a matter of the evil within our own hearts. Famous Russian writer Alexander Solzhenitsyn understood the truth that Scripture teaches when he penned these profound words. If only there were evil people somewhere insidiously committing evil deeds, and it were only necessary to separate them from the rest of us and destroy them. But then Solzhenitsyn hits the nail on the head when he says, "But the line dividing good and evil cuts through the heart of every human being." How easy it is to think that the problem with not achieving shalom is somewhere else, or someone else, other people, other places, not me. But God knew that the only way to establish his shalom was to overcome the evil in the heart of each and every one of us. And that is what Jesus' cross is all about. Not just God forgiving our sin, but God disabling and disempowering the power of sin in our lives. As a pastor, I've had members of my church say to me that they don't like it when I mix up the cross with Christmas. What does this awful scene of blood and gore and tragedy and injustice have to do with the beautiful tiny baby in the manger? Everything. For make no mistake about it, there is a direct line between the manger and the cross. Without the cross, the Prince of Peace could not bring shalom to God's world. It is that simple. And the way he did it is this: instead of inflicting violence and evil upon humankind to bring shalom into his world, which is what Caesar Augustus and many like him did, God receives into himself the violence and the evil of humanity in the death of Christ, and so conquers it forever. But here's the crux of the matter. The imperfect Pax Romana was only established as people spread throughout the Roman Empire swore allegiance to Caesar as Lord and submitted to Caesar's rule. In the same way, the Pax Christi, the peace of Christ, will only come to us when we, by faith, swear allegiance to Jesus as Lord and submit. We hate that word. And submit to his lordship in every area of our lives. That is why the angel is clear. Today, in the town of David, a Savior is born to you, who is Christ the Lord. Many Christians are big on claiming Christ as Savior. But how many of us truly own Christ as Lord, not just with our words, but with our lives? How many of us truly swear allegiance to him and submit and surrender to his lordship by a growing obedience to his teachings and his commandments? How many of us are actively seeking, consciously seeking, to align our wayward lives more and more with his commands? No matter what changes we have to make in our values, our attitudes, and our priorities. The truth is that that is the only way that we can claim Jesus as our Prince of Peace, enter into his shalom, his Pax Christi. When we do that, when we begin to own Christ not only as Savior and friend and comforter, but as Lord of lords and King of our lives, we discover this, that Christ's call is for us to be peacemakers, to spread God's shalom around us in Christ's church, in our homes, in our community, in our nation, and our world. Think about your life. Think about your home, your community, our country, our world, and reflect again on the qualities of shalom, comfort, salvation, healing, friendship, flourishing, blessing, welfare, well-being, security, safety, wholeness, restoration, health, wellness, tranquility, contentment, abundance, wealth, justice, and righteousness. Is that what I stand for? Personally, relationally, spiritually, politically, is that what you stand for? If it isn't, then we need to go back to the Prince of Peace and realign ourselves with him and with his core mission and priorities of bringing shalom to God's world. Recently, I learned of an organization called Better Angels, and they have a shalom mission. It is focused on our divided political situation in America. And what Better Angels does is they will come into a community and gather 10 Republicans and 10 Democrats and sit them down together. Amazing! And their goal is for them not to talk at each other, but to listen to one another. To listen with respect. To listen with tranquility. And to embrace one another as members of a common national family. That is what shalom looks like. The name Better Angels, you might know, comes from Lincoln's first inaugural address when our country was divided as never before or since. Lincoln concludes his address with these words: "We are not enemies, but friends. We must not be enemies. Though passion may have strained, it must not break our bonds of affection. The mystic chords of memory will swell when again touched, as surely they will be, by the better angels of our nature." This time in the life of the Christian church in America, it is time for us to allow our Prince of Peace to touch the better angels of our nature, so that we too become agents of God's shalom for all people and for God's creation. On earth, peace. That's not only the angel's promise on the night when Jesus was born. It is also God's call to all who name the name of Christ, the Prince of Peace. Just as Augustus Caesar sent his soldiers throughout his kingdom to maintain the Pax Romana, so Christ sends each of us out into our world as soldiers of the Pax Christi to spread his shalom wherever we go. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Amen. I invite you now to sing heartily of the peace that came to us on Christmas Day. It came upon a midnight clear, verses 1 and 3 of